Welcome once again to worship. Welcome in the name of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present within each one of us through the Holy Spirit, God living in us. We've had another busy week in the shop and the cafe. Thursday was a bit quieter, but on the whole, we had a very busy week. Quite a few new visitors to the cafe this week, and so once again, we thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to witness for him. Our thanks to Margaret, Caroline and Michael for their help this week. Joanna is finally home, but seems to have caught a bug during her last day in hospital and so has been unwell, but is now a lot better, and we thank the Lord for answered prayer. It was good to see Anne Powis from Lincoln this week. She joined us for worship on Sunday and came into the cafe during the week. She returned to Lincoln on Friday. So, now let us come together in one spirit to share in God's love, to lift our hearts and voices in praise and worship, to seek God's blessings with a refreshing and deep experience of God's power and generosity. Let us open our hearts and minds to see the kingdom around us and within us as we worship the living God, for how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith and unity. So let's sing, Oh How Good It Is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 145 we read, Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you look deep inside us, seeing not only our outer but our inner needs. Have compassion on us, we pray. Feed us today from your holy word, and we will be filled. Amen. So, if you're hungry, come to Jesus to feast on the bread of life. If you're thirsty, come to Jesus to drink the water of life. If you're tired and weary, come to Jesus to enjoy God's refreshing grace. Come to enjoy the feast that God provides. God provides a spiritual feast when we feed on the Spirit of God. So, all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. So let's sing, all creatures of our God and King. So today we begin a new theme as we explore together how we are called to live lives of faith. That will be our overall theme for the month, living lives of faith. It's one thing to talk about having faith in God, to turn up for church on Sunday, but it's another thing when it comes to putting our faith into practice 24/7. We all struggle at times, especially when we are faced with the reality that life is beyond our control. So often we just have to step out in faith in order to live lives of faith. So this month we'll be exploring some of the things we should be doing in order to put our faith into practice at all times, so that we are always living lives of faith. And once again we'll be using passages from Matthew's Gospel and Paul's letter to the Romans to help us focus on our theme. You know, it's so easy to say we don't have enough resources to fulfil our calling as disciples. But we shall see today from the account in Matthew's Gospel that has become known as the feeding of the 5,000 that even the smallest of resources can have an incredible result. Well, more of this later, but first let's praise God from our hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, you are indeed the God of compassion and boundless blessings. We are full of amazement that you care so greatly for the needs of your people. We worship and adore you for your generosity, your love and your power. And thank you, Lord, for calling us to share in your kingdom. Thank you for the trust you place in us. Thank you for the privilege of leading others to be part of your kingdom. Thank you for the resources that you give us to serve you and your people. So, Lord, lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us over the world's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but thee. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us. Lord, you offer us so much, and yet often we treat your gifts selfishly or lightly. Sometimes we feel we've had enough. There are so many demands on us from people around us, our community, and sometimes even the church. And Lord, when we want to send them all away, help us to look again to you, trusting in all that you provide and ready to share your goodness with others. Lord, we pray for ourselves. We who seek to live in your way, that when we are weary and dispirited, when our resources seem stretched to the breaking point, when we hunger and thirst for a sense of your presence, renew us with courage, trust and vision for the future, for we know that you are near to all who call on you in truth. And the truth is that we so often chase after worthless trivia, or do not value the riches of your gospel. Forgive us when we cling tightly to what we have and don't share it with others. Forgive us when we are anxious and afraid and don't trust you to meet our needs. Lord, forgive us. Help us to value what you offer, to share it freely with others, and to live in life in joyful risk for your kingdom. Lord, in Jesus, you fulfilled the words of the psalmist and the prophets. For Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We hear then the word of grace and the assurance of pardon. Your sins are forgiven for his sake. Lord, you know all the things we've ever done, but Jesus' blood has cancelled every one. O Lord, such grace to qualify us as your own. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing "There Is a New Song in My Heart." we know that an essential part of the ministry entrusted to the church is to pray for people in situations that need your healing. Lord, we know that in your good time, you will bring an end to suffering and restore us all to peace and prosperity. But in the meantime, we continue to pray for situations and people where we see suffering and a need for renewal. Lord, we continue to pray for a peaceable and end to fighting and war, especially in Ukraine, Gaza and the Middle East. We pray that there will not be an escalation of these wars into other countries. We pray for all who are working for peace. Lord, may your Spirit intervene in the hearts of those who seek to dominate and increase their power. We ask your blessing and comfort on all victims of fighting and wars. Lord, we continue to pray for the leaders of nations as they work to find a way forward for the people they represent in the face of rebellions and protests. We pray, Lord, for Andy Burnham in his early days in office as Prime Minister, as he builds relationships with other leaders and tackles urgent issues at home and abroad. We pray for all who are affected by excesses in the climate, for the people suffering extreme heat. We pray for all those struggling to contain the devastating wildfires across Europe and around the world, for all in the emergency services, especially the firefighters as they risk their lives day after day. Remember those who have been killed and injured, for all who have seen their homes and livelihoods destroyed, and for all the animals and wildlife decimated by the destruction of their habitats. We pray for the rescue workers in southwest Japan and those killed and injured in the recent earthquakes. And we pray, Lord, for parents and young children, as so many people start their summer holidays now that the school holidays have begun. We pray for all who rely on tourist trade that their businesses will not suffer with the lack of visitors. Lord, we ask a blessing on the work we do as churches in our various communities. And Lord, we pray for those who are ill and finding it hard to get treatment at this time due to the chaos in our National Health Service. We pray that in their waiting and suffering, they might find care and compassion from those around them. And Lord, we pray for all who are serving others in whatever capacity. Lord, we pray for people who feel trapped in their situation and can't see the bigger picture or even any tiny glimmer of light. May they see the light of your love and care through the darkness that surrounds them. And Lord, we hold before you in love and prayer our needs and the needs of those we know as we bring them to you now from our hearts. Lord, speak refreshment, assurance and warmth over lives afflicted by exhaustion and illness. Speak calm, gentleness and comfort over lives broken by grief and loss. Speak power, anointing and healing over each one of us, that we might live lives of faith, whatever our state of health and situation that surrounds us. And as Jesus taught us, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, help each one of us to build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach and live the word they've known. We ask our prayers in the precious name of Jesus, who is Saviour to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. So let us sing, let us build a house where love can dwell. So once again, we pause to make our offering to the Lord, and I want to thank all of you who are continuing with your tithing, and those of you who are tithing your time by helping in the community outreach. It's a lot of time and commitment, and so thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. So today, as I said earlier, we start a new preaching theme, Living Lives of Faith. Our theme today is Use Your Resources. And I could add, however meagre they might seem. In the story we're about to hear from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed over 5,000 people. What he was originally given seemed insufficient, but in his hands it became more than enough. We may often feel that our contribution to Jesus is meagre, but he can use and multiply whatever we give him, whether it's time, talents, or treasure. It's when we give our resources to Jesus that they are multiplied. On our own we can achieve nothing, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, all that we give will yield an abundant harvest for the kingdom of God. Let's hear now from Matthew's Gospel, which we pick up just after Matthew has told us of the death of John the Baptist.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In this account of the feeding of the 5,000, it's significant that Jesus first tells the disciples to feed the people, and only does it himself when they protest. The disciples came to Jesus out of their compassion for the people and their needs. And at this stage on their spiritual journey, the disciples could not see beyond the physical needs of the people, nor could they see that they too could have carried out the task had their faith been strong enough. Jesus was fully aware of this. He didn't ask the disciples because he couldn't be bothered himself. He was probably testing them. The disciples did have a real heart for the people, but they had not yet realized the power they had to help. Of course, the loaves of bread in this parable not only represent physical feeding, but also represent the bread of heaven. This can be linked to Jesus' time in the desert when Satan tried him to get him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus' reply was that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Or as the hymn goes, "Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore." So let's sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah."
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Apostle Paul also had a great heart for people, all people, and his heart, like that of Jesus, was for their spiritual needs. We often think of Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles, but in Romans chapter 9, he portrays his real anguished concern for his own Jewish people. Let's hear now what he has to say.
The reading is from Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ, for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Food, glorious food. You know, at its most basic, we need it to sustain us and keep us going, in moderation, of course. But it can also become much more than that. It can be a source of delight and joy, whether through culinary magic or through the company with which we share it. During this year, people have been complaining about the so-called spiralling of food prices. In fact, food is not the only thing that's costing more. But many restaurants and pubs have been closing due to rising prices. At the end of June, one of Elsie and my favourite restaurants closed, the Windmill at Borough. Such a pity. Then, of course, we are led to believe that more and more people are using food banks, and more charities and churches are offering free meals, usually once a month. Well, I suspect that many who do use food banks or go for free meals are just cashing in on a freebie. And of course, you know my views on many of the food banks. They too are cashing in on the situation and the hype. Okay, there may be genuine cases of hunger and the need for help. But by and large, the problem is that people are not using their resources properly. I can still vaguely remember the post-war rationing. More than that, I do remember how well my mother made food last. The joint of meat on the bone we had every Sunday for dinner would see us through the week in various forms, mince, cold meat slices, and eventually used as a basis for soup at the end of the week. Although, if I remember correctly, we did have fish on a Friday. I hated it for all the bones it contained, not like today's filleted fish. I remember too how we as kids were not allowed to leave any food on our plate. I even had an aunt who was also very frugal. Whenever I visited her, I noticed that if any bread was left uneaten at tea time, we would have it as toast the next morning. As I said, the basic problem is that people are not using their resources properly. You know, even a little can go a long way if used properly. We all had to do it before the benefit system got out of hand. And if I remember correctly, we were even taught a little about managing finances when we were at school. Perhaps they should reintroduce that on the curriculum instead of all the sex education that's being rammed down young people's throats. Well, that's for another time, but today I want to concentrate on the use of resources. This week, in Matthew's Gospel, we hear how Jesus meets this basic need in a miraculous and creative way, bringing people together through the small act of sharing some simple gifts, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, this familiar account, usually referred to as the feeding of the 5,000, begins by Matthew telling us that when Jesus heard what had happened to John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. There's a strong sense that John's death marks a new stage in Jesus' mission. It's almost as if a certain urgency creeps in. It also marks a new danger. A king who executes one troublesome travelling preacher can easily execute another. Mind you, feeding over 5,000 people seems almost designed to antagonise the ruling monarch, who was probably getting quite uncomfortable about the claims being made that Jesus was the Messiah, which would obviously pose a threat to Herod's reign if the claims were true. But when Jesus withdrew, he wasn't running away. I suspect he was doing what he always did when faced with a change in direction. He was seeking advice from his father. He sought a solitary place in which to pray. But the crowds weren't having anything to do with that. Matthew tells us that the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. Then when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And of course, he healed the sick. Then the story moves on, and we have the disciples coming to Jesus. As the evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they could go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And then what follows is the great feeding miracle. 5,000 men and accompanying women and children are fed, with 12 basketful of broken bits left over. The significance here is that Jesus fed over 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 small fish. In other words, he used resources that were available. This was indeed a demonstration of Jesus' miraculous power. But the bread was also symbolic. Remember what I said earlier about when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We're talking spiritual sustenance here. And that's what this miracle is about. The message is clear. If God is able to supply the resources they need for there to be an abundant yield of food, just remember that he can also produce an abundant yield of spirit-filled people to grow his kingdom here on earth. The message is that we must use our resources, however small they may seem. We have to use just what we have, both individually and corporately. Well, today we often feel in need of encouragement. Many of our Christian churches are facing reducing congregations and even closure. Here in the UK, we may not face the risk of our lives, although many Christians in other countries do. But we do have to battle with apathy, indifference, or sometimes active hostility and suspicion, and even persecution. So it's not surprising that we might feel overwhelmed, our energy and our resources stretched to the limit. And that's just the work in our own charity shop. But this story gives us all hope. We may feel our resources are inadequate, and we may be tempted to send the people away to find help elsewhere. After all, that's just what the disciples thought. We may long for retreat and refreshment. Isn't that what Jesus himself was trying to do? But the promise of Jesus is that if we simply offer what we have, God will take it and use it in ways beyond our imagination. He will produce an abundant yield. Furthermore, we are all promised the resources we need and the continuation of God's love. We're not called to provide great banquets. We're not called to provide the solution to the world poverty or the regeneration of our neighbourhood. We are called to simply offer what we have. But offering what we have is only part of the story. The motivation behind what we do is just as important, because it's not about us. It's about God and his kingdom. Like those first disciples, we have to have a heart for all God's people. Sadly, so often the efforts of Christian churches to serve our communities and to meet their needs are actually about filling pews and maintaining buildings. The only motivation which Jesus recognizes is a heart for all God's people. The feeding of the 5,000 wasn't just about a physical feeding or a physical hunger. This isn't about feeding the physically hungry. This is about feeding the spiritually hungry. This is about yielding a spiritual harvest for the kingdom of God. And we, you and me, are called to be good ground in which the Holy Spirit can flourish. We are called to protect each other, just as we are protected by our Heavenly Father as we grow and mature. And what is more, we are called to grow the kingdom of God. And why? Well, that's what God wants. And so it should be what we want. And if proof were needed, we only have to look again at Paul's letter to the Romans. At the start of chapter 9, Paul expressed deep concern for his Jewish brothers and sisters by saying that he would willingly take their punishment if that would save them. Well, the only one who can save us is Christ. But here, Paul showed a rare depth of love. Like Jesus, he was willing to sacrifice so others could be saved. How concerned are we for those who don't know Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice our time, money, energy, comfort and safety to see them come to faith in Jesus? Are we prepared to use our resources, however small? Bring them here to me, Jesus said. And that's what we're all called to do. We may feel that our resources are weak and inadequate, but if we're willing to offer and share what we have, we will find that God's provision is generous and abundant. Also, you might like to consider the following when you start to ask, well, what resources do I have? Okay, so the first and most important resource is prayer. We can all pray in so many different ways. So offer your prayers to others. Indeed, encourage them to pray themselves. Just encourage them to ask God for help. As I said before, he would rather hear from them personally. The most important prayer we can offer at this time is prayer for revival. Pray that every day. Another huge resource you have is family and friends, people you know and who know you. So talk to them about your faith. Okay, they may not want you to, but you have a duty to. Of course, we're always meeting new people, so talk to them as well. This is such a valuable resource. Another great resource we have is the example of the life in Christ that we lead. Share that resource so that others want to share that same life. Share your experiences of the Lord in your life. Okay, finally share what you know about the Scriptures. No matter how little you know, use that knowledge. And if you want to start at a basic level, share the word for each day. There are so many resources available for that. If you need one, just let me know. My dear friends, we all have an awesome responsibility. Never has there been a greater need for us to use the resources we have. My prayer is that everyone who is involved in this fellowship believes that too. I want to see more and more people submit their lives to Jesus in order to save them for eternity. Do you? Well, I pray that we all do. For we all have a gospel to proclaim. Good news for men in all the earth. The gospel of a Saviour's name. We sing his glory, tell of his worth. Amen. Alleluia. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing, We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. You know, by the end of the day, the crowds that followed Jesus on the hillside by the lake must have been exhausted. But they left with full stomachs and full hearts, for they had met with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you have fed us with your word, and we go out to live the lives you call us to, using every resource that we have to bring others to faith. And so, Lord, we go in love and peace to serve you and your people with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.